Om Jnanatirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. It's all about seeing. And in a sense, observation. Guru Maharaj says, Rishi, it's an interesting word. The Sanskrit word for creation is Srishti. Has the RS in there, but of S in the meaning, Srishti, like Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shaktareka, Chayeva, Yasya, Bhuvanani, Vibharti, Durga, in Brahma Sangita, talking about creation. But Guru Maharaj said that one of the meaning of the word Rishi, just like in Gita, Tadvedi Prinipatena, Pariprajnena, Sevaya, Upadekshanti te jnanam, jnaninas, tattva darshina. The tattva darshi, darshis, darshan. We think, oh, darshan, that's when you go to see the guru or the Vaishnava. And that's correct. But you'll see the word used like sat darshan in six different types of philosophies. But what does that mean? Sat darshan, darshan as philosophy means perspective. Ways of seeing. So Guru Maharaj said the rishis, they are seeing and experiencing the truth. And by the truth, remember, we always mean Krishna, a person, not the truth in some abstract form. The truth is Krishna. Krishna is the truth. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda, Satchidananda Vigraha. Not, there's no non-vigraha truth, really. So, seeing at some perspective, Shanta Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura, Swakya, Parakya, different ways, devotional a way of seeing. So, that's, and as the poet said, the deep heart's core. And then it's coming out in the form of the mantra, the scripture, the song, the harikatha. Right? So they're not authors in the conventional sense or creators, like, you know, in the creative sense, like, even the leading American literary critic, Howard Bloom, he wrote a book called, one is The Anatomy of Influence, the other one's The Anxiety of Influence. So what he's saying is these modern writers, often, if not all the time, they try to present themselves as though they're like mushrooms. They just sprung out of the soil of the muse, right? They're not under anyone's influence. They're just giving something original, and that's why they're so great and wonderful. But he says, to be inspired is to be influenced. And that's more, that we can support. Tene Brahma Hrida in the Bhagavatam. The inspiration of Brahma is on account of divine influence. He's under divine influence, and therefore there's inspiration. So all devotees will think like that. Whenever someone is offering praise toward what they've expressed, they defer that praise to under whose influence they are. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnav. Which is, they're not just being humble, which they are, But they're telling the truth. But and then people will mistakenly think, oh, then, you know, we don't get to offer anything new. It's always just repeating something from the past or rote recitation. No. Like Rupa Goswami's Raso Dama Kamarbuddha Madhura Damojula Tanur about Mahaprabhu and Chaitanyastakam. Then Guru Maharaj, under the influence of Rupa Goswami, Koti Kami Murchi Tangri Rupa Rasa Rangaram. Similar, same, but different. So under his influence, something has sprung out. And you can say, and I'm just saying this in a happy way, that will please, the guru is pleased if the disciple, like the parent is pleased if the child exceeds them. So you can say, in a sense, like what Guru Maharaj, he took that and made it even more, right? And maybe Rupa Goswami is pleased with that. Under his influence, something even as wonderful or more wonderful was expressed. He says, Raso Dhamma Kamar Budhamma Dura Dhamma Jula Tanur, discussing the beauty and sweetness of Mahaprabhu, that Raso Dhamma, Raso Udhamma Kamar, you know, billions of cupids in full blown cupidity, and I'm repurposing that word, that points toward the sweetness, Madhura Ujvala Tanur of Mahaprabhu. So he's doing like that, and it's similar to Brahma Sangita, Kandarpa Koti Kamani Abhishesha Shobham. But Guru Maharaj says in his verse, Koti Kami Murchi Tangri Rupa Rasa Rangaram, that 10 million cupids will faint to see the beauty of Mahaprabhu. So he's taken this and expressed it in a new way, but it's under the influence of Srila Rupa Goswami. So really, to be inspired is to be influenced, and that is a good thing. But those who lack humility cannot accept that. Humility defined as the perceived proximity of greatness, of that which is greater than yourself. That floods the heart with genuine feelings of humility, the perception of the proximity of greatness, that which is greater than you. Right? So in case of divinity, the greater Vaishnavas, the scripture, all, so many things. But there are Chinmoy threads connecting all of these things. So the rishis, seeing, experiencing, expressing the truth under the influence of divine current. So, and as I said, the Chinmoy threads that are connecting these things. So we know yesterday there was mention of the Chinese New Year, and I like to say the year of the boar. I'm comfortable saying that. And that's why I kept thinking it was Varahadev's appearance day. And but there has to be some connection why so many of these avatars appear on their calendar, their forms, Kurma, you know, Nisringa, tiger, lion, Matsya, I said Kurma, and Varaha. And we may think, Nana avataram akaro bhuvaneshya. You know, there are so many avatars, various avatars. It could be confusing, you know. So as innumerable as the waves of the ocean, Vedavyasa says in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Or maybe it was Shonaka Rishi, but it's in the Bhagavatam, the different tellings. And saying, so then 24 are identified. But we know Jayadeva Goswami and Gita Govinda, from which the Das Avatara Stotram is extracted, appears, has identified 10 principal ones. And interesting, Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Hansa Dutta, the gopis talk about them, but in another way. You know, it's so beautiful. What they say, someone could think is offensive. You know, but it's balm above, it's sweet opposition man, where they're saying like, you know, the as much you the girl, meaning Radharani, because Hansadutta is spoken by Lalita to a swan to take a message to Krishna in Mathura, saying, does he ever remember the two syllables Radha? But she says that, and the girl with her heart and the prema as, you know, the hook was the prema and the heart was there. And then what did Krishna do? He took, ate the bait and left the hook, not captured. And as Kurama, that girl, she gave everything to him. And what did he do? Withdraw his beautiful limbs within his form and show a hard shell. So she's going through Das Avatars in another way. Gopi vision. They can do that. But meanwhile, back on Earth, and more specifically, Varaha, we're told in various pastimes that Varahadev rescues the Earth. Seems a simple enough expression. But how does that should connect if we say there are Chinmoy threads connecting everything? And why Krishna? And so in Bhagavad Gita, he says, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sridamyaham. Whenever we know what it says, I'm just going to say it in a different way. You know, at the point where religion becomes your religion, at that time he needs to come down. Or some avatar, representative, etc. Because as we thought, Prakriti by Chitra, Paramparjana, Prakriti by Chitra, the truth given, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the Bhagavad, and its purity in the beginning, but then it's modified, Uddhava, 11th canto, modified by the temperament of the receivers, and then it gradually starts moving away from that. Like the classic exercise in journalism class, where, say, there's four rows, 10 students in each row, and the teacher will go and tell the student in the first row, so whisper something to them. And then they have to turn around and tell the next student, next, and then go up and down the row like this, and then they get to the end. And then what she does is, says before the class, they have the last student say, and what were you told? And they tell what they were told. And then they ask the first student what they were told, and then everybody breaks out in laughter. It's just turned into something else in the telling, right? Modified by the temperament of the receiver, right? Minimally, what to speak of other things. So he says, I will appear at those times. And also, Paritra naya sarunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma sangsta panartaya sambhavami juge juge. Repeatedly, yuga after yuga, almost like a hint of yuga avatars. Yuge yuge. But yuga avatars, lila avatars, purusha avatars, guna avatars, you know, shaktivesh avatars, Manvantars, you know, there's like 500,000 Manvantars in a, you know, in a certain time period. So he says in Gita, what we take to be general principles are laid down there, but our acharyas, they can extract from there something more specific or a deeper level reading, like Guru Maharaj's Hidden Treasure of the Sweet Absolute, showing in the nutshell slokas and, you know, yena mam upayanti te parakiya bhava, etc. He can extract that. But just taking it as it is, it's laid the groundwork for so many avatars. So it's there by inference or you know, illusion. And why did Krishna descend on the earth? We're told to relieve the burden. So many demonic kings were populating the earth. It was burdening the earth. And what is a visual to accompany that? Like the form of a hunchback woman due to so much weight, unbearable weight of these evil persons. She's bent over and hunchbacked. Like that. So, and but we have the Bhagavatam saying the earth was plunged into the nether regions, like the Garbhadak Ocean, the southern, like, you know, the Patagonia of the universe. And Varahadev enters the waters, and how interesting. What is the speciality of the boar? That, like, what is that European delicacy?
Truffles.
Truffles, right. So they use them because they have this heightened sense of smell to find them. Otherwise, they can't find them. So this is the delight, one of the delightful aspects of Krishna's pastime. Like, he's omniscient as a default mode. But as Kurma, he can't scratch his back because he's a turtle. Like, even people, they go like, can you scratch my back? I can't reach that. So what to speak of a turtle? Even more difficult. Right. So he's omnipotent, and he can't scratch his own back. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So he should know where the earth is. How does he find the earth? Through the sense of smell, which is also in the Bhagavad Gita. Punyo gandak prithivyam cha tejas chas masne tejas no jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapak tasvi tapak vishu. The seventh chapter. Punyo ganda, ganda means fragrance. Punyo gandak prithvi means the earth. They said, I am the fragrance of the earth. All fragrances come out from the earth, the soil, right? The Lilavati, Goloka Champak, Plumeri, that flower, it comes out of the earth. But so does the fragrance of the lotus and all other flowers. So how wonderful is the earth? And it produces all these fruits, flowers, etc. From one soil, all of these things come. And he's saying in the Gita, think of that as me. Don't be afraid of it. Or think that by thinking about it, you're necessarily lost in some sort of whimsical thought. There's a way to connect this to Krishna conception. There's a way to connect everything to Krishna conception. Because there's only Krishna, actually. The fact of the matter, there is only Krishna. And by that we mean Radha Krishna, Lalita Vishakti, Krishna's more than Krishna, like Prabhupada, king means queen, prince, princes, kingdom, you know, when you say a king doesn't live in isolation, neither does Krishna. So he is everything. Ahang sarvasya prabhavo. Everything comes from me. And there you go, well, what about everything comes from me? Yeah, but what everything comes from me, right? And if you see something that seems objectionable, that's probably because of your connection with it, that it turned into something else temporarily. like the man who takes the prasad very happily or whatever, and then later, when the consequence of eating reaches its ultimate stage of elimination, he's upset at the foulness of the situation. And, you know, it's a Bengali joke or something. But then what he's told is, but you're the cause of that. Before, I was in another position before, and now by contact with you, this is the outcome, so to speak. So, as Gurumayur said, it's only that a small part of the perfect appears to be imperfect for some time. It's actually like a mystical thing how this happens. As Oscar Wilde said, the real mysterious thing is all of this. You know, what we see, what's visible, that's mysterious. Like, how did chit get converted into all this stuff? But still, so Punyoganda, the original fragrance, so through the sense of smell, he locates the earth. Right? That's what we're told. Like searching, then traces it all the way to the Garbhadak ocean, and there meets Hiranyaksha. They battle, and Varahadev wins, and then lifts up the earth with his tusk and puts her back in orbit in her rightful position. Right. So, at the time of the appearance of Krishna, although his pastimes are manifold, multidimensional, and purpose and expression, still a similar situation has devolved. And the earth is again in because we don't want to imply that the earth has become degraded, but I just can't think of the word. But as I said initially, she is burdened and in a sad position, an unhappy one. And so Krishna, although we know ultimately the Bhagavatam culminates in his divine play with Radharani and Brajagopi, still his appearance, his pastimes with Nanda Yashoda, then with the cowherd boys, you know, Kumar, Poganda, then Kishore. But on the way to the Kishore pastimes, well, afterwards actually, but all part of this, that we know to plunge the gopis' hearts in the depths of separation where they yield the most superior type of Krishna prema. Akura comes and takes Krishna out of Vrindavan, but also his parents originally, Vasudeva Devaki, they're shackled by Kamsa and Mathura. And he must go there, and again, Brajajana Palana Asurakula Nashana. The Asurakul needs to be nashed, destroyed. So, and everything Krishna does is amazing. I mentioned that Kaliharad, where Krishna, the Kadamba tree is there from which he jumped into the Jamuna to punish Kaliya. I always found it particularly charming that Rupa Goswami says he adjusted his belt before he entered. You know. Like that he mentioned that detail. It means everything he does is enchanting. And even that looked good. The adjustment of his belt, his divine form, he has the tribhanga form, pulled the belt closer, and you're like, see more of his divine form, which is a festival for the eyes, anangotsavam. Visveswamanuranjanena janayana nandam indivara shveni kamala anangotavam. Ananga Utsav, a festival of form, of like all the different parts of his body, or like a divine visual festival. So on the way to Mathura, and Kamsa has scheduled a competition to draw people from different places. There'll be wrestlers, events. You know, a splendid time is guaranteed for all. And Krishna, Balaram, the cowherd boys, they're village people, right? Krishnera jateka kela sarvatam naralila narva putahara sarup gopavesh venukar navakishore natabar naralila hoyanarup. Right? The human-like pastimes of Krishna. So he's not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya. He's from the lower section of society, which means if you put a middle bar there, Brahmin, Kshatriya, male, Vaishya, Shudra, in the middle. And Guru Maharaj says always that the highest truth is always in the central, in the middle position. So please allow don't make him turn away. Jai Shri Bhakti Vimalabhaja. Maharaj, there's a bench there, and they can bring a cushion or bring another chair from the temple as is appropriate. Hare Krishna. So what did I just say?
The highest truth is always in the
middle. Oh, in the middle. It's like Madan Mohan, Govindaji, Gopinath. Govinda in the middle position. 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the six in the middle. It's just always the middle, right? The central conception of the infinite, the golden mean, all accommodating Brahma, all permeating Paramatma, Anoranyan, Mahato, Mahayan. And what's the central conception of the infinite? Human-like, right? Two arms, not 10, not 1,000, two. Right? And all the time, when I was in Loy Bazaar, Ganga Prasad, the original, not outside the window, they can come in. I mean, she's going to sit out on the other side of the window and not hear anything. Please. You know, I can just go. So then, as they're purchasing, he's a cloth merchant, and he always likes to give limkas to everyone, you know. So there's four of us, and he sends his boy, you know, who's now like in charge of the shop. But anyway, and he goes to the man. He brings two, comes over, then he goes back and brings another two, and I went like that, and Ganga Prasad, the show he had, something, he said to me, he said, "We are not in Vaikuntha, we are in Vrindavan." Meaning, if we were in Vaikuntha, he could have brought four. But because we're in Vrindavan, he had to go twice. So the deceptively simple, a Prakriti Leela, human-like, right? They're walking, not even shoes they're having, the cowherd boys, right? Barefoot. Right? So Krishna, when they go to Mathura, they're like these country, unsophisticated, like what did Guru Maharaj say about the brother? Silly, stupid jungle girls. Only he can say that, but he means it in a charming way, like teenage girls can be silly or seem to be. They're mad after this boy, Krishna. But if you record their expressions, they surpass the Vedas, these so-called silly jungle girls. They're posing that way. When they write something, they can turn the Vedas inside out, upside down. And the Vedas, when they see what they have, are crying, saying, "We didn't know. What have we done? We didn't express this. We didn't reveal this. We only sent people in a particular direction. Oh, what have we done? We didn't know such sweetness existed." So, on the way there, you know, they're like country people. They don't have like the latest fashions, right? You know, Mathura Vogue, you know. So they're dressed and they're Gopa Vesh, cowherd dress. And on the way there, they see this tailor, right? Going with the, like the clothing rack, and they think, "Oh, sir, if we could avail you of your, some of the clothes." They go, "What, you upstart cowherds? These are the clothes of the king. How dare you?" And then Krishna just chopped his head off. Stuff happens, you know. Mercifully, not a whole lot of dialogue in that scene, right? Just done. So his head like rolling over on the side, body dropped. Then Krishna's going through the rack and handing out the clothes. "Balaram, I think this kind of, you'd like this. This will look good on you. I'll take this." They're passing out to the other cowherd boys. They're all wearing Kansa's clothes, right? Then they're thinking, "How do I look?" "You look really good." Right? Then they are proceed. Now they have some, they're dressed more appropriately, city attire, although it's the king's wardrobe. And then they see this hunchback woman coming, and she's a what do you call someone? You know, a perfumer, someone who deals aromatist, I think, an aromatist. No, that is, the word therapy doesn't have to be there. Okay. It's aromatist, I believe. Anyway, something like, you know, she deals in oils, essential oils, fragrances, things like that. Right? And it's interesting, right, if you think about it. So remember, how did Varaha find the earth through the sense of smell? How does Krishna find Kubja? His name is Trivakra. Trivakra means in three places she's bent over. She's a hunchback. Why is she a hunchback? Because of the burden of all these evil kings. So we find out from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, she is Bhu Shakti. She's a partial expansion of Satyabhama, the Dwarka queen. So Bhu Shakti, like Bhumi, the earth. So this is the earth personified, who's bent, why is she a hunchback? All these demonic kings, they're burdening her, they're weighing her down. But we're told she has a very beautiful face, but she's a hunchback. And what is her occupation? She's an aromatist, right? Like the punyogandak prativyanta, all the fragrances come from the earth. So in a sense, how does Krishna discover her? Like Varaha, through scent she comes. But here, unlike the tailor, when Krishna asks her for something, she's already offering. She's saying, "Oh, I think, you know, you say when you put the oil on your individuals, you know, different people, they react differently. The same oil doesn't smell the same on every person, right?" So she picks an oil that's appropriate for Balaram, one for Krishna, like that. But so then Krishna, he knows everything and knows her situation. He thinks, "This lady, she's so nice. And just to see her like this, I've come to, you know, restore the earth to her rightful position. And look at her now. So Korun, compassion, mercy, and it's so beautiful, fascinating. Then what does Krishna do? With his lotus feet that are ever sought after, right, with his very lotus feet of Krishna, he steps on both of her feet. Like everyone wants to get the dust from the lotus feet of Krishna, right? Krishna's got his lotus feet on top of her feet. I don't know if you get more foot than that, right? And then what does he do? He bends over, and like, remember, Varaha has two tusks, right? And that's how he lifts up the earth. So Krishna, he steps on her with his lotus feet, and with his two fingers, bends down like that, like Varaha Dev, and lifts up the earth, lifts her up, and now she's restored to her rightful position. And she looks incredibly beautiful and seductive. But due to the touch of Krishna, just as it says in the verse, Brindaranyam Svapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. Guru Maharaj pointed out, lest anyone think there's some anomaly here from a rasa analysis, that in that verse which says Krishna and Balaram entering the forest, playing the flutes, the air is being filled with nectar, Barhapidam Nabdavarab, Karniko, that one. It says in the last line, Vrindaranyam Swapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. And the earth, due to the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna, is imbued with conjugal sentiments. The earth that is generally thought of as Shanta Rasa or not, you know, is imbued with conjugal sentiments. So you can't have a stereotypical conception about Vrindavan. So here, due to the touch of Krishna, Kupjas become imbued with Madhura Rasa sentiments. And she starts expressing them toward Krishna, inviting him to her house. And Balaram, the cowherd boy, they start to like giggle. They're all like, you know, because she can't contain herself. She's so enamored, and she's saying, and it's your fault. You did this to me by touching me. Your sweetness personified. No, you touched me, and now, and when we say sweetness, we don't mean like, you know, in a conventional sense. What's the ultimate sweetness? Madhura Rasa. Here's Madhura Rasa personified. You touched, you put your feet on mine, pulled me up like this. I'm overwhelmed. And then, but Krishna sees the cowherd boys are giggling and laughing and says, what are you laughing at? He said, I think she is Hasya Rasa personified, and she knows you're all a bunch of jokers, and she came here to make you laugh. That's what he says first. He's trying to save the situation. But he tells her, I have some important, like Gurudev, I have one job in Mathura with a fellow named Kay. And, or as they say in the Hindi movie, Maharaj Kangs Ki Jai Ho. So he's got to go kick some Jai Ho with Maharaj Kangs. And and so he's telling her, later we can get together. You know, like, I'll stop by. I mean, I assume it's an ongoing standing order invitation. So she is, all right, you know. But so Krishna, then what I wanted to say is, just to finish, then at that point, he enters Kangsa's arena. Well, first, outside, Kangsa has a different plan. One is to have this giant elephant just kill him before he even makes it inside. Right? And Krishna meets that elephant, and long story short, he's body slamming the elephant with his tail. the elephant tries to get him. His remember, tusks, this kind of a tusk segue. Anyway, so then he's like tries to stab Krishna and misses him. Then Krishna goes underneath him. He can't find him, you know. And then finally, Krishna body slams him a few times. Then pulls his tusk out and stabs him and kills him with it. He's like, you're carrying the weapon. Right? It's like Rake Krishna Marike Marike. This is a gamble of Mari Krishna Rake. You know, like he just killed him with the tusk. Now the tusk is full of blood from stabbing the elephant. And so Krishna's carrying it on his shoulder on the way in. So when Kamsa sees him make his entrance into the arena, he can't help but notice that Krishna and Balaram are wearing his clothes. And the elephant he sent to kill him, Krishna's carrying a tusk on his shoulder that's dripping blood and guts. So he's thinking, this might not be my day, my lucky day. You know, when he woke up in the morning, he went to shave and couldn't see his face in the mirror. That's always an indication. Or he saw his shadow had holes in it. Not good. You know, and then you see Krishna wearing your own clothes and with the bloody tusk dripping, and you're going like, you know, and then the wrestlers are there. But the ladies from Mathura, they say, Gopyastapakyamacharanyaramusharupam lavanyasaramasamordva ananyasiddhim drigbi pibantunusvinivadurapam ekantadama yasasri. Aishwaryasya, Ekanta Dhamma Yashasha, Sri Aishwaryasya. They're saying, their immediate reaction is to think of the gopis. They see how beautiful Krishna is. Gopyastapak kimarcharam yadam. This form of Krishna is so beautiful. What did they, we get to just see it now for a moment. They're always seeing Krishna. So they're thinking, what did they do? What tapasya they must have done to achieve that position. And it's an interesting word there. It says, lavanyasaram asamordva ananyasiddhim. Unparalleled perfection. And what do you like? Lavanyasaram means like if beauty were cream, the cream, creme de la creme of beautiful substances is before our eyes. That's what comes from the hearts of these ladies in Mathura. But immediately thinking of the good fortune of the Braja Gopis. And we're told, so when he enters the arena, and Grumars like this verse very much, Malanam Asanirninam Nalabaraspinam Murtiman Gopanam Svajanam Satam Siddhibudam Shastasha Pitro Shishu Mrityu Bhoja Pite Virata Vidusam Tatvam Puram Yoginam Vrishninam Paradeya Viteti Viditam Rangam Sagrata, something. That means with his elder brother. Rangam entered the arena with his elder brother. And what did they see? We talked in the beginning about seeing and different perspectives. What did they see? It says, Malanamashani means the wrestlers, the big wrestlers waiting, whom the lady said, this is not fair. They were right, but not in the way they thought. Because they're like, Krishna and Balaram are small, these wrestlers are huge, and they're going, what is this? And these grown men, why, this is, you know, it's like horrible, they're thinking. But of course, it is unfair, because on the one side is Krishna, on the other side is Balaram. But who are these exalted souls that got to play that part? We can think that also. They didn't just hire some thugs off the street. You know, they're eternally liberated souls. But anyway, so then, so he's saying, the wrestlers, what do they see? Lightning, like, they're like, uh-oh. They know that this is not going to end well, and it has nothing to do with relative size. they know something about a Prakriti Lila themselves. Mala nam asunirni nam natavara. And natavara means like sometimes they say like an actor, dancer, whatever. And what it reminds me of is the movie stars when they go to like the Academy Awards or something, and they'll, you know, they go, and there's so-and-so, you know, or, and the person seems to be like perfect in their movements and their smile and their laughter, and, you know, and everyone, oh, you know, and everyone's watching them, just everything they do is perfect, it's no, you know. Krishna is that. They are not that. For a month, for, as Andy Warhol said, for 15 minutes, they may be that. Krishna, you know, 15 trillion years on Brahmaloka is the bat of an eyelash for Krishna. Subru. So, Narabara is saying that he looks like a movie star, you know, when he enters, you could say in modern context. Narabara, Strinam Smaramurtiman. And the women see Smara, man's Cupid. Here, many words for Cupid. Smara Murtiman, Cupid personified. The women, they're like, oh my God. He's so beautiful, so charming, so seductive. Because if one Cupid is enough to drive everybody mad, then Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham, 10 million Cupids rolled into one, that would just be too much, right? To resist. Ahoy tikiya pratyata is irresistible. Right? So, Murtiman, gopanam swajanam. And the gopas, just like in the Olympics, like the girl from Izhevsk won the gold medal in the Winter Olympics. So like Indu Lekas from Izhevsk, Avadhut Maharaj took me there once. And when we were going there, he thought I might not be so excited to go to a place called Izhevsk. So he said like, we're going to Siberia, and there's like, you know, there's like, you know, what do you call it? Mastodons and, you know, woolly mammoth there are still roaming, you know, in downtown Izhevsk. And so I think I'm all psyched up. Wow, we're going and, you know, the Arctic Circle and so on. You know. And then later we're on this bus at the airport leaving, and I hear an American voice, and that voice hears my voice, and some lady visiting relatives. And so I said to her, and the whole week I'm giving examples about the cold, minus 30, you know, every example, I'm using all these snow, ice, Siberian type examples. Right? So I say, so what do you think of Siberia? And she looks at me and she goes, this isn't Siberia. And I go, it's not? She goes, no. You know, are you fool? No, it's not. This isn't Siberia, you fool, you know. And I'm like, oh. And I turn to Maharaj, I go, Maharaj, you told me we were going to Siberia, and all week I'm giving these examples that are like snow-based, ice-based, you know, negative, absolute zero, this kind of thing. And Maharaj says, yeah, it's like Siberia. But he thought I would be disappointed that, like, we're going to exist. Where is that? It's just another town in Russia. So he sold it as Siberia. So when the girl from there won, the people think she's one of us. There's this local pride. So it says, Gopanam Swajanam Shatam. At Kansas Olympics, the gopas and the gopis from now, they think that Krishna is theirs. See, one, as we're told, Rupa Goswami says, Grita Sneha, the love and affection compared to ghee, is I am yours. And that's the mood of Chandravali and her group. He said, but sweeter Madhu Sneha, the one that's like honey, is you are mine. And that's Radharani and her group. They feel possessive over Krishna. So back at that Kadamba tree, when we were there to talk about the pastime, sing some songs, these girls come in Vrindavan every day around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're from 4 to 14 to 8, like 4, 8, 12, 16, you know. And they come and sing songs about Gopal climbing the Kadamba tree, playing with the gopis, punishing Kaliya. You can understand, they've been doing this for 5,000 years, generationally. And they were so happy, although we kind of cut in on their time. They waited till we finished Yasomati Nandan. And there's a picture, and you can see the leader girl. She's so happy. Why? Because we're showing some love and affection for her, Gopal. Not for Krishna, no. They feel they own Krishna is theirs. They really feel that. He belongs to them. And they're happy if other people like him. They're Krishna. Like Tarun Kanti goes around, you go, Amar Gauranga, my Gauranga. So they, you know, my Krishna. So they're saying, Gopanam Swajanam Satam means they're thinking like, you know, he's from Vrindavan. You know. So, Shiti Bhujam, Gopanam, Sajanam, Satam, Shiti Bhujam, Shastra Pitra, and the some are seeing the rod of chastisement. Vasudev and Devaki are in shackles, and they're saying, our son. You know, they're thinking like that. Mrityu Bhojapate. Bhojapate means Kongsa. He's seeing death personified. That's who he's seeing. Virada Vidusam. Some are seeing the universal form. Imagine that. They're seeing everything like that. The ignorant is all. Virada Vidusam. Tatvam Param Yogi. And the yogis are seeing that Paramatma they're trying to connect with in the heart. They're seeing, is he not now before us, but in an inconceivably charming form? Yang shama sundaram achintya guna swarup. Inconceivably beautiful swarup. Tatvam param yoginam ritu bhojapate virada vidusam tatvam param yoginam rishninam paradevateti vidito. And the Vrishnis, here's the Lord of our dynasty, rishninam paradevateti vidito rangam sagra. And with Balaram, you know, his brother, they enter. So the acharyas say, there's 10 different points of view expressed here, according to the five rasas and some, you know, sub division. One Krishna simultaneously showing all these things to different people. So many things achieved in one pastime. So we wouldn't think normally of Varahadev being connected with, you know, Madhura Rasa, but there's these Chinmoy connecting threads. So as he lifted up the earth, Krishna, like in a Varaha Bhav, lifts up the Kubja, and she becomes this inconceivably beautiful woman. And the last thing I want to say is this, to offer some praise, that Mahaprabhu has a Varaha Bhav also when he shows up at the house of Murari Gupta. Or, you know, knock on the door like, who's there? He opens the door and there's Varaha Dev, Nimai Pandit, as Varaha, as the Varaha avatar. Because before Bhakta Bhav and Radha Bhav, he is sometimes playing in this way for various divine purpose. So he's like, aren't you going to invite me in? You know, like, oh yeah. Goes in. And what does he do? We've seen in India, they have these water pots. They go like this, and then they're round like that. They have a spout on, they're like totally round, like the earth. And what are they made out of? Clay, which is? Thank you. Right? So he goes over in the corner and lifts it up like he's saving the earth from the Garbhodak ocean. And Murari Gupta is like, and he's saying, just don't stand there, Murari, offer some prayers. And it's very beautiful because Murari Gupta says he's not capable or qualified to offer a proper prayer. But that becomes the prayer. He says, if Anantadev, with his thousands of mouths, in the mouths of Anantadev, the treasure is hidden, right? Jewels of Harikatha are, you know, in the mouths of Anantashesh and coming out. He said, if Anantadev, with his thousands of divine mouths, has been glorifying you eternally and has not exhausted your glories, then what can a fallen person like me say? I am totally unqualified to say anything to properly glorify you. But that's the prayer. That's the appropriate prayer. How beautiful it is. If Ananta with his thousands of hands cannot exhaust your glories, then what can a fallen person like myself say? So, if we, as Guru Maharaj would say, trace everything back to the central conception of the infinite, I like to say, I'll conclude with this, because I want to give William Blake some Sukriti. Okay. William Blake, he's a good man. But he says, because remember, when we were teenagers, you know, there was a group called The Doors. And we thought, well, that's really like an uninteresting name. The Doors? You couldn't think of anything better than that? The Doors. Right? But then when they were asked, like, why is the group called The Doors? They were reading Aldous Huxley. And Aldous Huxley, he had written a book called The Doors of Perception, which would have been a long name for a group in those days. Right? You needed like a single word kind of thing. It's before they invented all these like paragraph names. But anyway, so they said, Jim Morrison, well, The Doors of Perception, Aldous Huxley. It was about psychedelics, you know, expanding your mind, your consciousness, etc. But if you read carefully, you'll understand that phrase did not originate with Aldous Huxley, but with William Blake, who said, if the doors of perception are cleansed, they will perceive everything as it is, infinite. Right? It's a wonderful saying. It's true. It's beautiful. It's in harmony with Krishna consciousness. But still, it's not very precise. But there's a lot of implications. So then we say, well, the doors of perception, that means the senses. So you're saying if they're cleansed, then they'll see everything as it is infinite. Doesn't mean just like see this glass in relation to infinite, but it means another way of looking, expressing this, is that that means there must be, when the door this of sense perception, of the auditory sense is clear, that must mean you can, an infinite that can be heard, tasted, touched, smell, felt, right? That means the personality of the infinite, the personality of Godhead. So what is another name of Krishna besides Govinda and so on? As Hrishikesh, Hrishika Isha. That means just the Lord of the senses, but in the sense of like the highest sensual expression, the ultimate beautiful thing to be seen is Krishna. To be heard is his flute, the sound of his name. To be tasted is that which comes in connection with him. To feel every the full spectral range of sensual possibility reaches its zenith point in the personification of Krishna, right? Who's Rasa Prada. He's giving that. So Hrishika Isha, and here's the conclusion, is that Rose Rupa Goswami say, Sarupadi Vinirmuktam Tatpa. That means if the doors of perception are cleansed. It's another way of saying it. Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam. And what did he say? No substitute. Upadi can mean designation, rank, other things, but in the Sanskrit dictionary it also says it means substitute. When you stop substituting things for Krishna, people for Krishna, places for Vrindavan, you know, or divine, all of this, all of these substitutions. And he's saying, when you stop substituting things other than Krishna for Krishna, then you'll see everything at infinite. Sarvatapadi vinirmuktam tatparatena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. And this is the good news for us, because he's Hrishika Isha, Hrishikesh, because he has senses. You can serve him with your senses. And it's not just an option, it's actually what they're meant for. And that's good for us to see, you know, Shrutva Gunan Bhuvana Sundara Srinvatam Te, the most beautiful thing you to hear, hearing about him, Nama Rupa Guna Lila, the form comes out of the sound with particular qualities and pastimes. So what is Rukmini saying? Now that I heard about you, I understand why there's hearing, why there's an auditory sense. It's not something we say, well, that's an option you can exercise, is to hear about Krishna. No, she's saying, that's the only reason you have ears. And that's consistent with Sukadev and Radharani. Sukadev in the Bhagavatam saying, those ears that don't hear, they're like a broken conch shell. The tongue that doesn't chant the glories, like the tongue of a snake, or a frog, and, you know, all these different things are given in there. And then you think, like, well, that's Sukadev. He's one of those heavy brahmacharis, you know, gonna stick it to the, you know, people who are still attached to the mundane. But what I found interesting was that the same thing appears in the Madhya Lila, chapter 2, which is a condensed version of the whole Charitamritam. And it's the statements of Radharani, but Saraswati Thakur purports her statements by quoting Sukadev Goswami. And what is she saying? Those eyes which do not look upon your divine form are as useless as the eyes on a peacock plume. She's saying the same thing, but with this gopi bhav intensity that was earlier expressed by Sukadev. These are the Chinmoy connecting threads. Hare Krishna.